Hey there, welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back, relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
The most important week in human history. The most important week in all of eternity. This story tells us the truth again. He is risen. And because of that, we will see eternity with him if we believe. He can work out all things for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. He is the most important, and this story is the most important story, and it's our story.
He is the most important. And this is the most important story there is. And it's our story. At least I hope it's your story. So this morning we're going to kick off a new series, as Chris said, and it's Kingdom Come. And Jim just said on that voiceover right there, it's the most important story, it's our story. So this is like the Super Bowl. It's kind of like the World Series. This is like the half-yearly sale at Nordstrom's. Right? This is like Black Friday, like carpool lane when there's tons of traffic out there, like dessert before dinner. This is fantastic. And so here's what I want to let you know this morning. It's okay to get excited. It's okay to celebrate a little bit, because when somebody like scores a touchdown in the NFL, they're doing like this stuff. Touchdown. Okay, when I get excited, I go, let's go, come on, I like to clap. Sometimes it's just a very quiet, subtle fist bump. Like my friend Paul Schroeder, whenever he's sitting and he's in agreement with something, this is me sitting, he will stand up and sit back down. However you decide to agree to get excited this morning, I want to let you know two things. One, you have permission to do that. You have permission to do that here in this place. You have permission to do that this week in this series. In fact, you have permission to do that all the time. So just so you know, you have permission to do that. Second thing is, I think that I had a bet with myself that the second service was going to be the most exciting, and I'm challenging you to prove me wrong. But that's up to you. There's three people I know in here this morning that are going to really make that a run for their money, but I don't know about the rest of you. So, the stage is set. You guys, this is Easter week. This is Easter. Yes, let's go! Come on! That's right. I think we're getting ready. We're getting ready. This is Easter week. This is our Easter couple services here. It's called Kingdom Come. And so we're going to talk about the King. We're going to talk about the Kingdom. We're going to talk about Easter. This is our story, the greatest story there is. I hope that this is your story. If this is not your story this morning, I'm praying that it becomes your story. I'm praying that what you hear this morning changes your mind. I'm praying that it's going to change what you think and what you see and what you believe and what you expect, that there may be something more. There might be something that you've missed. And we want to share that story with you. So this series is about Kingdom Come. We're going to talk this morning about the King, what he's like. How did he come to be? How did he let the world know? What did he do? My question for us this morning, is he your king? We're also going to talk about his kingdom, and we're going to talk about the Easter story. We'll touch a little bit on that. So we have a theme verse that we're going to go through for this entire series, and that theme verse is going to come out of Matthew 6. Matthew 6, verse 9 and 10, and the context is Jesus is with his disciples. He's in the Sermon on the Mount, and he's starting to share with them, to teach them, what the kingdom is like, what they were designed for, what they should care about, what the world is going to be like, what they should hope for. And in this context, he's talking to them about prayer. And this is what he says to them. He says, you should pray like this. And he repeats this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. On this earth as it is in heaven. God, your will. God, your kingdom. God, your king, come here. Let it be here like it is in heaven. Now, this is not a hopeful thought. This is not a like, hey, let's take a swing and hope we hit it. Jesus is telling his disciples to pray this way because it's going to happen. Just like eventually our weather will change. It will get nice. It will happen. But right now, you should, like me, yearn for it to be different. I want it to be warmer. I want it to be nicer. Jesus, with his disciples, says, pray like this. wish this, hope for this, it's better. And that's our theme verse for this series, is that yes, this is the Easter story. Yes, we get to get excited and talk about the gospel, the life that Jesus brings, but we're putting on lenses this year to say, this is Jesus's kingdom and it has come. And that's for us to remember. So in order to help us remember that, we're gonna throw out a little helpful hint. It's called the mnemonic device. Mnemonic device. It kind of sounds like a different word, demonic device. It's not. Those are two different things. However, when you think of demonic device, there's something that I think of right away. It's been my experience. I want to share that with you. It's going to be on the screen. This is a demonic device, if you've ever seen one. At least in my opinion, because when I've had little kids, you know what this thing does? You know what this reminds me of? Everything I don't like. Noises, it's so loud, it never quits. You like put it in the closet, it's still going somehow. I'm like, how is that even possible? Pop, 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 pop. It reminds me of the things I hate. We are not doing that this morning, okay? We are not doing that. We're going to use what's called the mnemonic device. And here's what that means. The definition is going to be on the screen. It's a device such as a pattern of letters, ideas, or associations that assists in remembering something. So it's catchy. It's a catchphrase, it's letters, it's words, it's symbols, it's something to help you be reminded of to remember something. Here's an example of a mnemonic. For any of us that actually went to school in some sort of a science class, and they would talk about a bunch of things, but one thing they talked about was light in different colors. And in order to pass your test, you had to remember what are the colors in the spectrum of light. And there's a mnemonic that's called Roy G. Biv. Anybody ever heard of that? Raise hands. Yay, so you don't have to get excited about that. I'm not excited. Roy G. Biv stands for the colors of light. Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. Roy G. Biv. It helps you remember something that, according to some people, matters. Okay? So here's the mnemonic that we're going to give and we're going to use for Easter, for Kingdom Come, for this service especially, but also for the rest. And it's going to be this. It's in your notes. It's three parts. You have a fill in the blank, so for those of you that are like me, you get to fill it in and keep the answer. It's in your notes to write it down. If you get all three of them, which would be up to me, I'd do a good job to get all three of them, you'll get something at the end of service that will help you even more. Ah, teaser. Here's what the first one is. Three parts for this series and this sermon. Number one, Jesus is King. Number two, the kingdom is now. And part three, the Easter story is how. Easter story is how. So part one, Jesus is King. Part two, the kingdom is now. Part three, the Easter story is how. So we're gonna use that as a helpful reminder for us in this series, the truth of the gospel, the story of Easter, that Jesus Christ is our King, that his kingdom is now based on what he did on the cross. And that story of Easter reminds us and tells us of what he did to accomplish that. So, I want to know if you're ready for this story. All right. And I got to set it up. There's a little bit of a preface here. So if we're going to say that Jesus is King and his kingdom is now, I would ask you the opposite question and go, who else has been a king in your life? Have you been a part of a kingdom that's not Jesus's? For me personally, my story is that I was not a part of that kingdom until I was 19. I decided that I was gonna live in my kingdom and that I wanted to be the king. I wanted to wear the crown. I wanted to call the shots. And I wanted to decide what mattered and what didn't. And left to myself and my own devices and my own belief system, I chose things that hurt me and other people. I built walls. I built mountains. I hid in the dark. I believed lies. And the things that I hoped for, I was doing the wrong things to get. I wanted to have purpose. I wanted to matter. I wanted to be cared for. I wanted to be appreciated and loved. And I sought it in all the wrong ways. I'm the king. This is my life. This is my kingdom. And the things that I chased brought me death, not life. The relationships I sought were hurtful, not helpful, because I didn't know the truth that there was a different king or that there was a different kingdom. But you best believe that I wanted to be him. and I wanted it to be mine. And that was true about my life until I gave it to Jesus. But unfortunately, that didn't completely disappear. And I still struggle with that. I still struggle to climb back up on the throne and make decisions that I think are better for me. And I want to live a life the way that I think it should go, that's of this place. I get distracted. I feed myself, my sin, my desires, just like I did then, and it's empty, and I struggle. And I want it to be my kingdom and not his. But the good news about this series and the good news about the gospel is that that is not all there is. There is a way out. There is a solution. There is hope. There is life. There is salvation, and there is a king and a kingdom that is now, that has come, if you choose to believe it. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. But my challenge for you is my challenge for me is, will I believe it? Will you believe it? Will you see it? Will you choose it? Or will you continue to build your kingdom? To fight the wrong fight in the wrong way is what this world is about. Accomplishment. Fulfilling yourself in a way that you believe is going to lead you to life and purpose and value. It won't. And it didn't for me. But the story that we're going to talk about this morning is about the king and about how he came to the world, about how he described who he is and why he came and what he did. And for us this morning, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, this is the greatest story there is. If you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, this is the greatest story there is. It is. And so the decision for you this morning, whether you've been walking with Jesus for a long time or you never have been, is, are you going to believe it? And what are you going to do with it? Because it's the greatest story there is. So we're going to look at the story from two ways, one from the world and what the world tells you, and one from the kingdom of God and what the kingdom will tell you. And we're going to journey through the Easter story together this morning. So this is part one, and we're going to talk about the triumphal entry as Jesus as king and how the king came. It's in your notes. It's going to be in Matthew 21, but I want to set the stage. Here's the story. We are in Jerusalem and outside of Jerusalem, and this is in the ministry in the time of Jesus. And the entire country, the people of God, the Jews in Jerusalem, have been longing for and anticipating a king to save them from their position, to save them from themselves, from the oppression from politics, from the world that's not working, from the value that they don't have. They've been yearning and waiting and expecting a king to come to save them and establish his kingdom, their kingdom, once and for all. That's what they're waiting for. And this is Jerusalem. The temple is in Jerusalem. It's God's people. It's God's city. But it's overthrown and it's being ruled by Rome. So this is the context of which the king came. So this morning, which lens are you going to look through? The one of the world or the one of the kingdom? Here's the story. Are you ready? Jesus is outside of Jerusalem. He's in a town of Bethphage. It's about 2 miles away. And he says to his disciples, two of them, go ahead and get me a donkey. In fact, it's going to have a colt with it. And I want you to bring it because that's how I'm going to enter the city. And they go and they get it. And he says, if you run into anybody, they ask you what it's for, tell them the Lord needs it. So these two, they go and they bring the donkey back with the colt and they put a robe over it because that's all they have to put over it. So Jesus gets on it and he starts to ride towards the city. The prophecy is fulfilled because it says your king would come humbly on a donkey, and he's entering into the city and there's lots of people. Now in this time in Jerusalem, there's usually about 80,000, 100,000, something like that people in this city. But this is the time of Passover, the time where they celebrate and remember. And so there's about 1 million people in Jerusalem, bustling, lots of people, lots going on. And here comes Jesus on a donkey riding into the city. So as he enters, people throw their robes on the ground. They lay palm branches on the ground for him to ride into. Coats and branches as he enters the city. Some people yell out, Hosanna, which means save us now. Others say, glory to him who comes in the name of the Lord. Some shout, Hosanna in the highest. But some of the really churchy people, the Pharisees, the chief priests, they actually say to Jesus, hey, tell them to be quiet. And Jesus says, well, if they be quiet, the rocks will cry out. And he keeps going on. Jesus gets closer, enters the city, and he starts to see the city, and he knows what he's heading for. He knows what the week is going to entail. He knows what the people are going to see, what they're going to believe, how they're going to treat him. He knows. So instead of getting angry, instead of turning the other way, instead of changing his plan, he weeps for Jerusalem. He says, I wish that you would be a people of peace, that you would have seen it when God came near, but you missed it. It's not going to go very well, but I weep for you. I mourn over the decisions that you're making. Jesus enters the city, and instead of going straight to Pilate and straight to the political powers that were in there, he didn't. He went to the temple, and he goes to his house, his place, and the people are in there. He says, you're changing money, you're doing commerce. This is not what it's supposed to be, and he rebukes him, cleanses the temple, says it's not supposed to be this way. He went to the temple, his place, first. In the next couple days, Jesus goes in and out of the city, and he's with his disciples, and he's preparing for this moment, and eventually they end up outside of the city, and they're preparing a Passover meal. And this Jesus, this guy, depending on the lenses of what you're looking with, has dinner, the Passover meal, with his disciples. This guy washes, this Jesus guy, he washes their feet. He's a servant, encourages them to love, says, I'm going to prepare a place for you that you have no idea about, but it's not going to go the way you think. Eventually ends up in the garden, and he's praying to his Father. He says, God, if you can, will you take this cup from me? But if not, your will be done, not mine. And they capture him. He gets betrayed. And they take him by force back into the city, which is his. They put him on trial. They put him before Pilate, who's the representation of the Roman guard, and he asks Jesus, he says, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus says, why do you want to know? Do you personally want to know? Or is it because somebody else told you to do this? Pilate goes, hey, I'm not even a Jew, Jesus. Your people brought you here. Your chief priests brought you here. You're on trial, man. They want you dead. I'm just asking the question. Are you the king? And Jesus replies and he says that my kingdom is not of this world. It's not of this place. And if it were, my people would be fighting you right now. They wouldn't let me be taken, but it's not. Pilate, you don't get it. So Pilate asks him again, are you the king? And Jesus the Christ says, yes, I am. You are correct. I am the king. I was born for it. I came here for it. And the truth is going to be shared, and those that want to hear it and that are my people, they will. Jesus says, I'm the king. But what happens next? They beat him. They flog him. They make fun of him. They persecute him. They spit in his face. They give the king a crown. It's a crown of thorns, of shame, of scorn. And they also give him a throne. And they say it's this cross. And they make him pick it up and carry it to the place that they kill him. They mock him. Here's your crown. Here's your throne. Way to be the king. And that's not where the story ends. It's not. But that's what Easter's about. That's why you're coming back on Thursday. That's why you're coming back on Sunday. But let's look at this story through the lens of the king and the kingdom. That story I just told right there is true. It's the greatest story you've ever heard. But if you're like me, after hearing the way that I just told that, I'm like, that does not sound like good news. That sounds like bad news. That sounds like a guy decided to ride into a city on a donkey with some dirty clothes and some branches on the ground and some people going, hey, Hosanna, and some people, that's not true. Hey, be quiet. Here's the king. He's going to go and do what? get beat and killed and mocked and scorned and denied and turned on? How is that good news? If you believe the story like that, it's not. If you believe it like that. But the question is, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's talk about the real story now. Because this is the story that I believe. This is the Easter, the kingdom come story that I believe is true. That when I was 18, I didn't. That I denied. That I thought it was better to be something different. Here's the gospel story, the kingdom come story that's true that I know. Part one of our mnemonic. Are you ready? It's celebration time. This is Super Bowl time. This is World Series time. This is sale time, whatever you want to call it time. Are you ready? Here it comes. This is the story of Easter that I celebrate, that I know. And it's number one, Jesus is King. Here's what my King did. That's right. Here's what my King did. My King said that I'm going to go into the city that's rightly mine already. And you think it's going to be in the way of the world? That's going to be on a high horse with military power to overthrow the principalities and the things you have in place, you're wrong. I'm going to come in on a donkey to fulfill scripture and prophecy because my King is humble. He's patient. He's gentle. He knows the fight he's about to go into, and he's going to choose to fight it the right way. And as he enters, there's people that are a part of this kingdom, and they know it. And when they see him coming, they go, I'm taking my robe off, and I'm going to put it on the ground. And I'm going to break off branches of palms, which means victory, which is a symbolism of authority and winning. And they are going to lay it before the King who chooses to enter his own city on a donkey. And they shout, Hosanna, which means save us now, and he will. And they say, glory to the King, those who come in his name, Hosanna in the highest and the right. Because the King is coming into his city, and when he gets over the crest and he sees it, he weeps because he knows he's going to win the battle that kills us all, that killed me when I was a young man. The battle over sin and Satan and death. It's the biggest battle there is, and he's going to defeat it. And he weeps because he sees the people and he says, you're gonna miss it. Don't miss it, but you're gonna miss it. And I'm not angry, and guess what? I'm still coming. But I'm gonna weep because it's my kingdom and you're my people and they're gonna miss it. And you guys, we're gonna miss it. And there's people in this world that miss it. But my King says, I'm still coming. I'm still coming, and I'm coming on a donkey, and I'm gonna do it humbly, and I'm gonna do it as a servant, and I'm gonna enter the city, and instead of going straight to the top and throwing blows and fighting laws and different stuff, he says, I'm going to go to the place that I have established to my people, to the temple, to those that believe in me and say, don't do this. Don't do this. This is not my house. This is not my kingdom. This is not my way. Hang in there. Don't fight the wrong fight the wrong way. Be my people. And he goes in and out of the city, in and out of the city, and he's doing what he knows is right. He's showing his disciples. He's showing his people. He's showing us. He's showing me. He's showing the world. Love one another. Remember what is true. And here's how you're supposed to love one another. A new commandment I give you, he says. Wash each other's feet. Serve. Be benevolent. Fight the right fight. Fight the right fight. And he knows he's gonna get beaten. He knows that he's gonna get turned over. He knows. And he goes before his Father and he says, God, if you'll take it away, take it away. But if you don't, I'm still coming. I'm still going. I know what's gonna happen. And I know it's gonna be hard. But I'm doing it because I'm the King. In my kingdom, God, your kingdom, Father, it's coming, and I'm gonna do what it takes. I'm gonna fight, the right way. But God, if you'll take it, take it. If not, I'm still in. My King got taken and put before the people and stood there when he was questioned and said, I am the King. He didn't fight. He didn't scream. He didn't quit. He stood there with meekness and authority, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, put on shame before all people, and he said, I am him. And I came for this reason, and you don't get it. I didn't get it. He came to defeat sin. He came to give me freedom over the thing that I could not conquer on my own. He came to the cross, and he was willing to do for you and I what we cannot do for ourselves. I wanted him to do something different in my life when I was younger. I wanted him to work things out for me here and now. I wanted him to fill my kingdom my way. The Jews in the world expected the same thing. And when they didn't, they rejected him. Jesus is the King. And when he went to the cross, they gave him a crown. But when he went to the cross, I give him a different crown. I give him a crown of righteousness. I give him a crown of authority. I have to choose daily to say, Jesus, you're my King, and your kingdom is here, not mine. God, your will be done, not mine. On earth as it is in heaven, God, don't let me turn back. Don't let me look back. Don't let me get frustrated. God, when you do something different than what I'm used to, please let me choose to trust you and believe you. When he went to the cross, the world said, you lost. When my King went to the cross, he said, it's finished. Jesus is the King, and he's a good one. He's a great one. He's a benevolent one. He loves you. He's waiting for you. Will you trust him? Will you take your crown off? Will you let him be the ruler of your kingdom? Jesus is King, and his kingdom is now. And this Easter story that we talk about is how he has chosen to do that. He did it in the way of a servant. He did it in the way that the world didn't expect. He did it in a way that I didn't expect. But in the same way that Jesus entered Jerusalem with full authority and kingship, meek and tough, in a warrior to fight the biggest battle there's ever been, is the same way that he entered my life. Allowing me to make a decision. Showing me who he is in a way that I can choose to receive it or reject it. What's true for them then is what's true for you now. The fact of the matter is that Jesus Christ sits on the throne and he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And as he went to that cross and died and rose again, he does have a crown on. He does sit on a throne. And that throne is at the right hand of Father or God in heaven. And the crown that he wears is one of victory. And you get to choose if that's true for you or not. I believe that the Easter story is the greatest historical story there ever is. And that's my story. And he's my King and I'm in his kingdom. What about you? I sure hope so. I sure hope so. Part of what Jesus says in that Easter story is that my kingdom has come. What he did on the cross rubber stamped that. But it's not to full fruition yet. But that day's a coming too. And we're going to hang in there. But his kingdom is now. He says that it's near. It's within you. It is in you. We make up that kingdom in a way that he chooses to make us be a part of it. Jesus the Christ tells parable about what this kingdom is before he goes to the cross and even really close to it. And he says that this kingdom of mine is going to be something that you don't expect in the exact same way that they did not expect him to announce that he was king and come into the city. He says, my kingdom is like this. It's like a mustard seed. It's the smallest of all seeds. But once that seed, that truth, that reality is planted, it grows into the biggest tree that there is for the birds of the air to perch into it. That kingdom of mine subtly, smallly, inconspicuously gets massive. And it's tricky. He also says it's like yeast kneaded into the dough. It spreads. It gets through. It works its way into it. How does that happen? How does that kingdom spread? How has his kingdom come and lived here on earth? The church, us, his people, his followers, his subjects that say, Jesus is my king. Jesus says, here's the plan, it's you. And this world needs that truth. They need you to be the representation of Christ in this world, his bride, the church. He says, you will do greater things than I have done. How is that possible with what he did? And he says, I will leave you one that will help you in his Holy Spirit. He will guide you. He will rebuke you. He will correct you. But I want you to do it together. He modeled the upper room on purpose. He washed his disciples' feet on purpose. He said, fight the right fight. Love each other. You can't do it without my Spirit. But guess what? The Easter story is how our king brought his kingdom. He conquered Satan, he conquered sin, and he said, my Holy Spirit will be within you now. Love one another. The world will know that Jesus the Christ raised from the dead by your love for one another. Are you in? Are you in? That is what the kingdom is like. And Jesus says, I will let you lead this out if you will trust in me and if you will believe in me. My kingdom is now. It's not of flesh and blood. It's of spirit. It's of truth. It's of love. It's of relationship. Fight the right fight. Fight it the right way. Be humble. Be patient. Fight through conflict. Love one another. It's what you're made for. It's what I was seeking after when I was 18 and I couldn't find it because it was not his kingdom, it was mine. What you chase that's not his kingdom will not fulfill. It won't. It doesn't. We've got the scars to prove it. But he's got the scars to change it. Jesus is king. The king's kingdom is now. It's in us. We represent it. We see it. It's only a glimpse of what's to come. And when that day comes, when he comes back and it's all to fruition, come on. But until then, you guys, it's us. If you are not a follower of Jesus Christ and he's not your king, you don't have life. You got an uphill battle. Those walls are getting bigger. That darkness is getting darker. And you're just going to keep trying harder. Jesus has won the battle. He's won the battle. He wears the crown. Will you let him? Will you let him? And when I say that the kingdom is inside of you because Jesus said it, you can feel it. You know when it's empty. You know when you're chasing things that are not going to fulfill you. And you know that when you are loved, when someone cares about you, when someone is willing to lay down their life like our king did, that that's truth and that matters and you were built for it. Choose the kingdom. Choose the king. Choose the greatest story of all time, the gospel message, the good news of Jesus Christ, the story of Easter. Choose it to be your story.
That's right.
So, we can do this together. Jesus is king. His kingdom is now. The Easter story is how. Something to remember when you think of the Easter story. One of Jesus' closest guys through this entire ordeal was Peter. And this is where the message of hope comes in. Peter was very close to Jesus throughout his entire ministry. Peter was the one that said, Jesus, you're the truth. Your words are true. You're the Messiah. But during that journey, when Jesus got brought before Pilate, when he got beaten, when he got scourged, when he got made fun of, when he was put a crown of thorns on his head and given a cross, Peter said, you're not my king anymore. I have said, Jesus, you're not my king anymore. I'm not proud of it, but it happens. When the story gets tough, I lose faith. When my life gets tough, I lose faith. But just as the truth is true for Peter, the truth is true for you, and the truth is true for myself. And this is what that truth is. When Jesus went to the cross and raised from the dead and fought the battle and won the greatest victory that there ever was over sin and death, Peter gets restored. Peter goes to Jesus, and Jesus looks him in the face, and he says, Peter, do you love me? Peter says, I do. He says, Peter, do you love me? Peter says, Lord, I do. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I do. I'm sorry, I do. Okay, then feed my sheep. Here's what he says. I know you denied me. I know you lost faith in me. I know it was a tough battle, but I beat it. I won. And Blake, when you come to me, do you love me? Yes, Jesus, I love you. Are you sure? Yes, Lord, I'm sorry, I love you. Blake, are you sure? Yes, Jesus, I'm sorry, I love you. It's okay. Get back in the game. Feed my sheep. Love my people. I need you. You can do this. Okay, Jesus, I'm in. And so are you. The gospel message is good news. It's one of hope. And no matter where you are this morning, if you've never made that decision, I pray today is the day. If you've wavered from your decision, let me encourage you, you can be like Peter. Go back to the feet of the King and say, I love you, I'm sorry, and he'll take you back. And be a part of his kingdom, which is now. And celebrate this Easter story, which is the greatest historical story there is. Make it your story. And make it somebody else's. So the guys are going to come back out. We're going to end our service here in a second, and we're going to worship. But I promised you, I did, that at the end of this service, you were going to get another helpful tool to remind you that Jesus is the King. And so they're going to put a symbol up there. You can see it, it's a crown. You betcha it's a crown. And so there's going to be crown magnets for you to take on the way out. Okay, this crown magnet, I'm going to ask you to do what we talked about this morning and stake a claim that says that Jesus the Christ is my King. And this is the crown that he wears. And his kingdom is now, and I'm a part of it. Put this somewhere to remind yourself of that. Put this somewhere where somebody else can see it. Your kids, your spouse, your coworker, your neighbor. I don't know, but God does. Put this somewhere to remind you whose you are, the King's. A son, a daughter, the King is on the throne. Give him this crown and be a part of his kingdom. Will you do that? Okay. Grab these on the way out. Grab these on the way out. As we end this morning, like each and every week, if you need to sit and pray, you can do that right now. If you need to write on a card, do that as well. But if you want to stand and worship with us, I'm really going to encourage you to do that right now. We're going to have a baptism in just a minute, but we're going to worship first. And so if you can, would you please stand up right now? And we're going to tee up another song that we sang already. And as you're getting ready to worship, I'm just going to speak this truth out to you this morning, just like the words of the song and the truth of the gospel message and the Easter story. Our God is King. Jesus the Christ is King. His kingdom is now. And my King does this. He has a reckless love for you and I that does not quit. He will go to the cross and fight the fight that only he can fight in the right way. I don't care if you run. I don't care if you hide. I will find you, he says. I will come after you. I will kick down that wall. I will shine light in that darkness. I will climb that mountain. I will chase the 99. I will find you. My love is reckless. It is endless. He is the King. His kingdom is now, and Easter is true. Let us worship our King. Let's go.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or a giving opportunity, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.